I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And welcome to Fearful Friends Podcast.
Hello.
You can stop yawning.
Hello. I'm still Rel.
So I have to tell you about my drive here.
I already know about your drive here.
You only know about half of my drive. I got on 95 going north to come to your house. I got off at the first exit to get gas.
I'm going to interrupt you right there. You got off at the first exit, and then when I tracked you, you were back down at your house. Does this have anything to do with that? What'd you forget? You forgot the laptop, didn't you?
I got gas, got back on the highway, going the wrong direction.
Oh my God, Tamara.
I had to go back to my house, or back to my street on 95, turn around, get back on. And then, when I got off 95 and I'm driving towards your street, I completely just drove past your street.
I'm like watching her on my little find your friend and broop, there she goes. And I was like, I wonder if she knows.
She suspected.
Oh. I'm surprised you don't still drive with a GPS.
Yeah, me too.
I GPS everywhere I go. I still GPS to your house.
I have passed your exit one time, and then other times I pass, like, there's two exits before you that kind of looks like the same as your exit, and I freak out every time, like, oh my God, I missed my exit again.
Here it is. I'm always afraid I'm going to miss my exit, especially, like, when I'm taking the turnpike down to work, because there's, like, the exit that I take to get to work, and then I don't think there's another exit for, like, 16 miles or something that. Oh no, the next exit is the one for where you live. So that would suck.
Yeah.
It would make me very late to work.
So we've had an exciting week.
Yeah. Enlighten me.
We released our first episode.
We made the podcast live.
Yes.
To all the three people that listened to us, thank you.
And our second episode came out today.
Yep.
And we've been accepted to, like, everything, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts. That was a lot of work.
Yeah. But we did it. iHeartRadio, all Podbean, the other little BB ones, Amazon Music. I can't think of any other streaming services.
I think we're still waiting on Google Podcasts, but...
Well, I still post it in the Instagram, available wherever you listen to podcasts, because I haven't met a single person that listens to Google Podcasts.
I know, but the...
Or Podbean.
Like, when I Google it, it says that Google Podcasts is one of the bigger ones. It also says Audible is.
Yes, I've heard of Audible being one.
But I don't know if our Amazon Music and Audible is the same thing. I've got to figure that out.
I don't know. We can look into it.
Yep. But we have our TikTok page up and our Instagram, and I just...
Now we can never take a sick day again.
Yeah, well, we can. That's why we banked episodes.
And that's why, in case anybody's wondering, you'll be hearing episodes from back around St. Paddy's Day and Easter, because we've been recording for a very long time.
Yeah. Yes, and it's right now, it's the end of August, and we just wanted to get
some... You probably won't hear this episode for 2 months.
Yeah, we wanted to get some episodes under our belt, so in case we had to miss a week, we didn't actually miss posting or get behind.
Yep.
But we are going to have some specials that we put out, like our Halloween special will come out on Halloween, or the Friday right before it.
Yeah.
So.
Still haven't decided what we're going to do, though.
No.
We have an idea, but...
I know. But I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
I am, too. I'm so excited for Halloween. Yes. I want to do something this year. Every Halloween comes and goes. And I have a pumpkin tattooed on my arm, and I have let Halloween slip by for, like, the last 5 years. It's not right.
I know.
I don't think I watched a single scary movie last year.
I would love to go to Halloween Horror Nights, but...
It's so expensive. Did you look this year?
No,
oh my God.
Because
it's sickening.
I am not going to wait in those lines. That's ridiculous.
The fast pass lines are just as long now as the regular lines, and the fast pass is like $120 on its own.
Yeah.
And that's not including admission.
Yeah.
That's so, it's so stupid.
Yeah. Plus, you have to pay for parking.
Yeah.
And if you want a drink in there, it's...
Which I do, because I have severe social anxiety, and there's going to be too many people there for my comfort zone.
Yeah, they need to come up with a different system, because the lines, the regular lines, were like 3 hours.
Yeah.
You can't see all the houses.
For a two-minute experience.
Yeah.
Sorry that I'm moving my mic.
Yeah, and I just won't do that, and I
still want to go, like, I loved, like, the experience of it, like, walking around. I just remember that first time that you and I ever went,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, I was transported to, like, Halloween Town, USA, you know, and, like, there was fog in the streets and spooky music, and everyone was just so, like, oh, it was just, it was wonderful. Yeah. It's where my soul wants to live permanently.
Yeah, my favorite area is, they have this, like, bridge where it has trees over it, and it's kind of, like, right before the Simpsons ride area.
The Simpsons ride.
And they just, like, they have these big trees, and they're filled with pumpkins all, like, jack-o'-lanterns all over the tree, and you, like, walk under them.
I want to go.
Yeah, well, we have to win the lottery to go, apparently.
Obviously. I wonder if, I mean, I know that there's, like, one down south, but I don't know if it's any good or if it's worthwhile. At the fairgrounds. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's... So
there's another one in Miami.
Yeah.
I also hate Miami. So.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't want to drive
anyone
there.
In Miami, but.
The traffic is
not
too
great
much.
For my social anxiety either.
Yeah. Yeah. There's too many highways everywhere. And
it's weird. You'll be very proud of me this week. I thank you to a wench at work today. I have a rant for you.
Oh, okay.
It's basically just like this lady just started going off on me because she like special ordered something through someone else who she couldn't remember her name, his or her name, because she couldn't even remember like who did the order, but it was like a product that I carry.
Mm-hmm.
And I do all my own orders. Like, and I work all my own trucks. I don't take truck days off. So I'm like, I'm sorry, like, I don't have this order for you, but I can, like, grab some for you out of the back that I have on hand, and I can place an order for you on my next truck. Sure, sure. But then she was started, like, arguing with me about price and how this person gives her a super good deal and Whole Foods does that. And I'm just like, well, this isn't Whole Foods. But, this is the price and I can give you a case discount. And she's like, no, no, that's not good enough. And she just started like going off on me. And then I was just like, well, maybe you're thinking of a different store. Maybe you're thinking of a different product.
Yeah.
Because I've been the dairy manager here since we opened. And I can tell you that I've never done a special order for you, for that product, for that amount of I don't know what you're talking about. And she was just like, I do this order every week. She lost her shit. And then, so I was just like, okay. And then I just like walked away because I do not do well in confrontation. I'm not going to stand here on the front end and fight with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to walk away. So then like one of the cashiers comes up to me later with like her name and phone number written on a piece of paper for this special order she wants me to do for her. And I was just like, yeah, that lady can go kiss my ass. I'm not doing this for her. And she was just like, why? She was so nice. And I was like, did you not see that whole thing? And she was just like, oh, well, yeah, but I didn't know what happened. She said that she was probably thinking of the different store. And I was just like,
she was just, you know, gaslighting
you. At the bottom of that note, she should have written her name, phone number, what she wanted to order, and then I'm sorry for being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Because now I'm the one that's going to do this order for her. I'm the one that's going to take every single piece of it off the truck and put it on another shelf and put her stupid fucking name on it. I'm the one that's going to have to call her and for her to ignore my phone call. Like, anyways. I was having a fine day. And it was literally, I had my purse on my arm walking out the door.
Oh, my God.
And this lady, they called me up front, and this lady just starts going off on me. And I was just like, I'm going to the bar now. Sorry, I didn't mean to break everyone's ears. How's your day?
Ugh, I don't want to talk about my day. I'm tired.
Good enough to take a Zanny.
Yeah. I'm just burnt out.
Casey
from
Anthony
work.
Says, "Zanny the nanny."
Oh my god! Oh, she's trash.
She is trash.
Yeah, hate that bitch.
I think everyone does.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what I was gonna say, but I absolutely hate that when clients. Oh well, the other person does it.
It's fucking bullshit. Who? Who? That's the thing. You can never think of the name.
Yeah.
You can never, like, I don't care who does it. I'm not doing it for you.
Yeah.
This is my department. I have to make money. So, right. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And I'm not going to give you this special treatment and, like, risk my job. And, like,
yeah.
You are just so ununderstanding. And
I wish you would remember.
You always do it, but I only have three tellers, and we're all three of us are standing mm-hmm. right here, but it's not one of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when I say, okay, I'm the supervisor, I'd like to know who does that for you. They don't know.
No, okay. They never right. do.
Yeah. And my two tellers are too stupid to do anything like that, so I know it wasn't them.
Because they're always calling you for shit anyway.
Tamara, this name isn't spelled right. Well, fucking spell it right. I don't know what to tell you.
Tamara, I hate to say it, but it's happening.
What?
You know what's happening. Season is beginning.
Oh, my God.
It's happening. I drove past three different trucks bringing down cars from up north.
Yuck.
Yeah.
It's too early.
It's too early, but...
Tell them it's still hot. They need to go away.
I've been having a ton of people, too, ask me for stuff that has been, like, discontinued for months. Like, months. And then they come back and they're like, well, you just carried it. And I'm like, no, maybe I just carried it when you were here during the last season. And then you went away for 3 months.
I just carried it a year ago.
Anyways,
Yeah.
Are you ready to get into the largy? It's a largy today.
Yes.
It's a long one.
I am.
Well, maybe it's a long one. I don't know. It's a doozy.
Rel always brings the doozies.
I do bring the doozies.
I like the doozies. They're distracting. Distract me from my burnout.
With just the worst possible things imaginable.
Oh, great.
Okay. So... On the morning of April 12th in 1981, 14-year-old Sheila Sharp was returning to her family's cabin in the Sierra Nevada mountains after a sleepover with her friend next door. Let me know if you recognize this.
I'm sorry. A sleepover with her friend next door is yes. what you said? I wasn't listening.
You're a bitch.
I mean, I was.
Did I just write these notes for no one?
Not yet. I'm thinking Keddie Cabin.
God damn it. Am I didn't right? even finish the paragraph.
I don't remember a lot of things, so I'm really proud of myself.
I'm very proud of you. Well, for everyone else who isn't a total bitch. When she opened the door. Now is where we stop laughing.
Okay.
She found that her mother, two of her siblings, and her brother's friend were gruesomely murdered. These murders remain unsolved to this day.
I love a mystery, thank you.
I hate this mystery because it could be solved.
It just means that we can still solve it.
I hope so. Anyways. On to the story of the Keddie Cabin murders. In 1979, Galena, Sue Sharp. Everyone called her Sue. And her five kids, John, Sheila, Tina, Rick, and Greg. That's five. Okay. Count them. Moved to Quincy, California, trying to escape their abusive husband and father. Sue's brother lived there and offered his trailer up for the family to live in until they could get on their feet. In order to support herself and her kids, Sue began taking typewriting classes and got a job working part-time at the Quincy Elks Lodge. The nearby town of Keddie, which used to be a popular family resort.
Wait, pause. Have you seen the Barbie movie?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
Are you
I was going to make a reference right now. To the Barbie movie. I saw it twice.
Why?
Why not? I loved Barbies when I was a kid. My mom loved Barbies. My daughter loves Barbies. And it's a powerful, like, feminine statement movie.
I know. Everyone that I've talked to fucking loves it.
I was going to make a reference about the dojo thing, but...
So rarely go to the movies. I'm not going to waste it on the Barbie movie.
I know. I never go to the movies. But those seats they have nowadays?
Very sticky.
No. I've always been
sticky. Yeah, they lean back now, and they sound like farts when you go up and down. But the one that I sat in, the head and the butt... was all, like, all the leather was, like, rubbed away. And it was just, like, me sitting on a sponge that absorbed everyone else's ass sweat.
You think too much about it.
I do. I was very uncomfortable, that whole Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. The theater that I went to is, like, newly renovated. So they're new seats and they just, oh, they're so comfortable that you just, like, lay back and watch the movie and eat. Oh, it was great.
I would fall asleep if I leaned back too much.
I love it. And it's like, you know, you always had that issue where, like, I have to put my feet up in movie theaters. Yeah. I hate it. So I would always pick the one, like, the first row with that railing so you could put your feet up. You don't have to do that anymore.
No. But now your feet are in the way when people need to go to the bathroom.
They have good spacing to the theater that I went to. And okay. I'm that bitch that takes off my shoes. I curl up.
Ew.
I'm so sorry. I'm wearing sandals anyway. It's not any different.
I guess. People are gross.
Yeah, I'm gross. I can admit that. Where were you? I am so sorry. I wanted to talk about...
the nearby town of Keddie. Thank you. Which has nothing to do with Barbie, used to be a popular family resort and had fallen into some financial trouble and had recently been converted into low-income housing. So for Sue, this was the perfect opportunity to get her family out of her brother's trailer and into a home. So the family of six moved in to cabin number 28. The cabins at the Keddie Resort were fairly simple. There was no running water or electricity, but people would still stay there because it was a great way to get out of the city and immerse yourself in nature and the mountains. What a dream.
I would do it. What year was this?
1981.
And then in what part of California?
Keddie, California. It's in the Sierra Nevada mountains. So you can set the scene.
So, like, northernish California. I was just, like, really concerned about it being hot for them because they didn't have any electricity.
That's what you were concerned about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted it to be idyllic for them, okay? They deserved
it. It's, like, mountainy, so I think that they get some, like, decent seasons, maybe. I don't really know anything about California weather, but... it looks heavily shaded because it's very, like, you know, tree.
In 2016, I was in San Francisco in July, and at night it was freezing. It was fucking freezing in
they
San
say, Francisco. What do they say? It's like 75 in the daytime, and then at night, yeah, it gets cold.
Yeah, and this is a little bit further north, but even when I went a little bit further north than San Francisco, it warmed up a little bit. I just think that they've got, like, that big bay, and it's like very windy and foggy.
San Francisco Bay.
Yeah,
that
Bay Area. Bay. I'm sorry I said that.
So Tamara's hot in this cabin. She doesn't care about this cabin.
I don't think I'd be hot. I don't think I'd be hot. I was just concerned. I wanted them to be comfortable.
Wonderful. The thing, I need running water. How do you shower?
Is there maybe like
a There's probably like camp. It is like a camp. So there's like, you know, kind of like where we went camping that one time. There's like little cabins. And then there's a little shop. And then there's like the manager's office and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
I would assume. There's a bathroom area in the middle that had showers.
Yeah. I would assume they had. I don't know. I didn't look into the architecture. I should have. Should have done it.
I think I just want to go on vacation.
I did try to look up an Airbnb for this resort, and they're not renting out, surprisingly, anymore. Hmm. It's really upsetting.
Yeah, well. I love California.
California!
I literally named my dog Callie.
You're adorable. You're adorkable. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Matt wants to go to California. What? Pass. Matt wants to go to California.
Listen, the wineries there.
We're going to get murdered in California. Okay?
We're going to get murdered. We're going to get murdered in Florida.
We will go to California one day, but it will be after we go to North Carolina again.
Just saying, go North California, go to the vineyards.
Sorry.
They're so beautiful.
And grapes.
Yeah, they don't taste very good.
The grapes or the wine?
The grapes. I did still eat a lot of them. Hmm. You weren't supposed to.
I don't like grapes, like, on their own. I mean, like, they're fine. I don't like grapes. Don't come at me. They're okay. They just give me heartburn.
Okay.
But so does wine, and I love wine. Drinking wine right now.
Everything gives me fucking heartburn.
Same. So cabin 28 was located at the end of a dirt road, but there were still like other occupied cabins within like 20 feet of it. So like they were out in nature, but not isolated, you know. I mean, their closest neighbor was probably within like 15 feet. The resort was considered to be pretty safe, and there was no history of violent crime, so there wasn't too much for the Sharp family to worry about, and life was really starting to look up for the family. So on April 11th, 14-year-old Sheila was spending the night at a neighbor friend's house, while the other Sharp kids had their friends, Dana Wingate and Justin Easton, over for their own sleepover. The following morning, Sheila discovered the bodies of her mother Sue, her brother John, and her brother's friend Dana, bound, bloodied, and gagged on the living room floor. Shooketh is what I say. The scene was insane. Like, every investigator, like, this was, you know, the 80s in California, so they were not strangers to insane crime. As we all know, the 70s came with a lot of serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they said that this was, like, something else. It was just, like, blood everywhere. The walls, the doors, the ceiling, the porch railings, they were all splattered with blood, and in the middle of the floor was a bloody hammer and a bent steak knife.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even imagine walking into that. Like, it would be like
just like shock.
A horrifying, like, you'd immediately go into shock, but it's also like almost like demonic, like that, because it doesn't feel like something that like a human could do, like,
right? Yeah,
it's like, because it's just nothing that you can comprehend in maybe your own brain. It wasn't
just a human,
right?
Okay, so Sheila, obviously she panicked. She ran back next door because she didn't know like what else to do. She's not gonna go inside and, you know, get to the phone or whatever.
I don't even know if they had a phone, actually.
Because they didn't have power. Anyways.
You don't have to have a phone to have power. I mean, you don't have to have power to have a phone.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Back in that day when they were like wall. On the wall. Oh, you would pick it up.
Oh, yeah. Because they had like telephone companies.
Yeah. It was just the cord.
Genius. Okay.
But if they didn't have power or running water, I don't think they.
I don't know. Well, she didn't go in to call. She went to the neighbor's house and had the parents call
while the parents sent their eldest son with her back to the house to, like, see if anyone was left alive.
The parents sent their son?
It's a little strange, but, like, I guess just, I mean, she only saw three people. She had four siblings, you know. So I guess it was just to see if anybody was alive. So they walked around the house, peeking through windows, and he peeked through the brothers' windows. And Greg, Justin, and Rick were still alive in their bed, sleeping. So to spare them from seeing what Sheila had seen, they had them climb out through the window. And then they went to go look for Tina, the 12-year-old sister. Mm-hmm. And her bedding was stained with blood, but she was nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. So, in this next section, I'm going to be describing the crime scene. It's extremely gruesome.
All right. I have a question.
Tamara doesn't want to hear it.
Wasn't there a kid sleeping over at their house, too?
That's Justin.
Justin
okay. And Dana. Dana was one of the ones found dead. Justin was one of the boys alive.
And Dana's a boy.
Dana's a boy.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll pretend I'm following.
There's a lot of names.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's five kids. And then their friends. It's
okay.
It's a whole thing. So I literally, when I was doing my notes, I like wrote all the names out. And then I wrote D for dead.
Oh my
God. A for alive. So I could keep track of all of them.
Okay.
It was a lot. So yeah, if you don't want to hear all the gory details, just skip ahead. Maybe like, I don't know, a minute. I'll try to get through it quick. So when police arrived at the cabin, they found that all three victims were gagged and bound with medical tape and electrical cords. Sue's mouth was stuffed with her own underwear, a blue bandana, and then taped over as a gag. And then she was nude from the waist down, but her later autopsy found no evidence of sexual assault. So, really weird.
Yeah.
She was also the only one with defensive wounds. She had been stabbed repeatedly in the neck and chest, as well as hit in the head with the butt of a BB gun. John's throat had been cut and his head had been smashed in with a hammer. And as for Dana, who was just like John's friend, you know, he was also struck in the head with a hammer, but his cause of death was actually manual strangulation.
Oh my lord.
Okay, gosh. So the investigation into the murders certainly didn't clear things up. There were no signs of forced entry. Nothing seemed to be missing from the home, other than Tina. So police concluded that this wasn't a robbery gone wrong. Plus, from the amount of brutality in the killings, it was obviously, a personal attack. Sorry, heartburn burp.
I don't know if I believe that.
That it was a personal attack?
Yeah, that, like, brutality equals a personal attack. I don't remember what podcast
I think in some cases, you're right. Like, it could, like Richard Ramirez, for instance. Nothing about his shit was personal. It was just like, if you fucking happened to cross paths with him, he'd fuck up your day.
Yeah.
But I think for the majority of killings, like, especially one where, like, there's a, I don't know. Like, it seems like Sue was degraded more than the others. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That seems personal. Okay. Why would you take your pants off without doing anything? You know, I don't know.
To, like, make a point. To, like,
to humiliate shock
people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Blood spatter analysis indicated that all three bodies had been moved post-mortem. So maybe, again, like, the shock value. Police also interviewed the three surviving boys, and initially they told them that they slept through the whole thing, didn't hear a peep, and in fact, most neighbors claimed they didn't hear anything either, except there was one couple that was staying in cabin 16, who sounds like it should be far away, because they're in cabin 28 and cabin 16, but it wasn't, like, that far away. They said that they were awakened around 1 or 2 a.m. by the sounds of muffled screams, but they said they couldn't be sure where the scream was coming from or if it was from a person or maybe an animal or maybe even someone just watching a horror movie or something. And then, you know, other reports, like some neighbors reported seeing a green van outside the cabin. Some said that they saw a brown Datsun with a flat tire outside the cabin. But, you know, all of these leads, they just went nowhere. So shortly after the murders, Justin, the friend who survived, he went to the police with a bit of a revelation. He had started having nightmares about the night and told police that he thinks he may have witnessed parts of the murders. So he agreed to go under hypnosis. And in this, like, weird dream, like, I guess that before they went to bed that night, they were watching The Love Boat. So in this weird dream, they're all on this love boat. And he sees Sue and two other men fighting. And then the other two boys, John and Dana, come in and start fighting the other men. And then after the struggle, Tina was taken out away by, like, one of the men. And then, I don't know, some weird love boat thing. But I don't know the premise of the show. I don't know. But he said that that was the repressed memory dream. I don't know. But, I mean, they said that, like, what he dreamed lined up pretty well with, like, what could have happened. Like, there was a struggle. They did believe that possibly two people were involved. You know, one person could have left with Tina and then come back. So, from this vision, he was able to give police a rough description of the unidentified assailants, and a composite sketch was drawn up. One man had short hair, glasses, and a mustache. The other man, long hair, clean shaven, and glasses. Both looking very generic.
Yeah. And also, in your dreams, I feel like you don't ever really see the faces or, like, details.
Unless it wasn't a dream. Maybe it was an actual repressed memory.
Yeah. It's just, like, a person. But also, like, maybe, like, to me, that kind of sounds vague enough to, like, I have dreams a lot where things, like, I understand why I have the dream because it's just something that happened. Mm-hmm. So, like, he had to know a little bit of what happened. And also, he was watching Love Boat. So, like, in his brain, it could have put those things together.
Right. But he was 12. Like, I mean, who's going to tell a 12-year-old exactly what happened that night? Right. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he could have found out because gossip travels and people talk, but I don't know.
I mean, he had to know people came in. Yeah. Killed Sue.
Yeah.
He knew Justin. He knew
the other boys were dead. Also one point in his dream, and, like, why would you talk about the specifics of the murder? At one point in his dream, he said that Sue was slashed in the chest by one of the men, and there was a slash on her chest.
Okay. So then he definitely knows more details. So, yeah, he probably maybe knew something, and then he was just in shock.
Yeah.
And
Could be. So, the sketch artist with the generic drawing also didn't really turn up anything because the police weren't stellar. They dropped a lot of balls. And the sketch artist that they had chosen had no artistic ability and no training in forensic sketching.
I'm sorry, no artistic ability?
Not my words, but that sounded really harsh, but like, you're a loser.
I'm going to do the sketch artist work, I don't have any artistic
But the fact ability. That they weren't trained in forensic sketching, like, you have to be able to, like, draw what somebody described. Like, I don't know.
Like, I have no artistic ability. Could I help out?
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't know. They dropped a lot of balls. They also I didn't put this in my notes because I didn't know where to squeeze it in. After the initial murders, they got, like, help from the FBI because they were like, whoa, this is a big case. We need help. The FBI stuck around for, like, a month and was like, okay, bye. No leads. See you later. And then once they started interviewing suspects, the people that they got to interview them were not from the homicide division or whatever, but they were from organized crime. So we'll get to that later. So on April 22nd, 1984, so like 3 years almost to the day, a man collecting bottles and cans about 100 miles away from Keddie in the Plumas National Forest finds a partial human skull and a mandible bone and calls authorities. Initially, they believed that the remain...
Wait, how far away?
God damn it, Tamara.
So sorry.
About 100 miles away from Keddie.
Okay.
Although some sources I saw said 50, but oh my God, I saw more that said 100 than I saw that said 50.
It always happens that way when you're researching.
Why can't we just get it together? Initially, they believed that the remains had belonged to a Native American boy, but then there was an anonymous phone call to the sheriff's office. The caller says he heard them talking about the discovery on the news and asked if they had considered that it might be the 12-year-old girl that had gone missing 3 years earlier. This call was recorded, but was never admitted into evidence and was found in 2013 at the bottom of an evidence box. It was never once, like, voice analysis wasn't done. It wasn't passed on to anyone. It wasn't examined in any way. Now, was this just a good Samaritan who really remembers a case from 100 miles away in a different town?
And they never looked into it?
They never looked into the call. Or was this someone who knew exactly who those remains belonged to? Either way, a few months later, the remains were indeed identified as Tina Sharp's. Her cause of death and time of death couldn't be determined because her remains at that point were totally skeletal, and a search of the area turned up a jacket and some Levi jeans and an empty medical tape dispenser, which was used to bind all the victims. Bummerville.
So how much of her body did they find?
It didn't actually specify. That dude just found a partial piece of her skull and a mandible.
Okay.
But I don't know if they actually found the rest. Nothing I read specified what they found. But they found, like, when she was missing, they also put out, like, a thingy saying what she was wearing the day that she was missing. And that's what they found with the body.
Okay.
So let's talk suspects.
Let's.
Oh, I just hit myself in the ear. Honestly, there weren't too many of them. Sue was, like, really private, really quiet. So, like, I don't know. Who the fuck would want to kill her? And some kids? Like, why?
Her ex-husband.
Bam! First suspect. Obvies. The ex-husband. He was known to be physically and sexually abusive to both Sue and the daughters. And it was said that Tina was his favorite. So that could have explained why she was missing and not, like, dead with the others. But unfortunately, he had an alibi that proved there was no way he could be involved in the murders. So he's out. The next suspect.
Are we sure? What's his alibi? I don't trust it.
I didn't ask what his alibi was. The next suspect was one of Tina's teachers. After all, she was still missing. Maybe she could have been the target instead of Sue. So, and this particular teacher was known to have a weird fixation on her. He even had a picture of her on his desk at work and one at home. It's fucking weird, right?
Fucking hate people. Like, this is why I just want to, like, keep my child
homeschool. Yeah.
In my house and never let her out.
Mm-hmm.
Sick fucks.
Because people are gross. So to add to his suspicion, after the murders, he moved to a different town where he was arrested for molesting a young girl. So, but solid alibi. There was no way that he could be involved. So the police had to move on. I know.
I don't trust it.
I don't trust any of these motherfuckers. They're all shady over there.
Still needs to go to jail.
Yeah, he did for molesting.
Just for having a picture. Lock him up. That's weird.
It sure is. So after that, the spotlight focused in on Justin's stepfather, Martin Smart. He was
He was the kid sleeping over.
Yes.
Okay.
The kid that survived, which would explain why he survived. Possibly.
Okay.
Martin Smart was a Vietnam vet with PTSD and a horrible temper, as people would say. Before it even became public knowledge that a hammer was involved in the murders, he told the police that a hammer happened to be missing from his garage. And he, yeah, I know, right? Also, they did find a hammer at the crime scene, but they suspected multiple hammers. From, like, the wounds or whatever. So they were like, that's suspicious. That this hammer's missing, the one he described, like he described exactly what it was to them, possibly to be like, oh, someone else stole it from my garage and killed these people. Maybe we don't know.
I'm glad that, like, bad people are stupid.
Yeah, unfortunately this is still an unsolved case. So he was also calling in random clues to throw suspicion away from him. And later, his wife, Marilyn, claimed that she had... This is just a claim, because, like, if this did happen, the police didn't log it, because they obviously weren't so hot at logging evidence. Mm-hmm. But later, his wife claimed that she had found a bloody jacket in the basement that she then turned over to police, but there was no record of that.
Why would she make that up?
Right? I don't know.
Attention?
I don't know. Her and Sheila both say that they believe Martin did it. So, there's that. And it was also pretty well known that he didn't care for Sue. Sue and his wife were in the same typewriting class together, and they became close friends. And when Sue found out that he was beating on Marilyn all the time, she had just gotten out of an abusive relationship herself. And she was like, you need to get the fuck out of there. And divorce this man, because he's gross. And that right there could be motive. Mm-hmm. And why Sue was, you know, humiliated in the way she was. I don't know. Could be. Another fun fact is that, you know, the police believe that two people could have done this. Martin had, being a Vietnam vet, he was going to the VA hospital for, like, mental issues. He had met a fellow vet in the hospital named John Bo Bobity. I'm going to call him Bo because I don't like his last name.
I'm going to call him Bo Bobity.
Bobo. Oh, Tamara. Bobity. Do you know how long I had to watch a show to figure out how to pronounce his name?
I've already forgotten.
Bobity. John Bo Bobity.
Bo Bobity.
Bobity. Bo. We're going to call him Bo.
Okay.
So, this guy that he met at the VA was living with him. He was also a super shady character who also had a really bad temper and had connections to the Chicago mob. Ring, ding, ding. Ring, ding, ding. He was also known to have the hots for Sue, and he was rejected by her on two different occasions. And when he was interviewed, he kept changing the timing of his alibi, but in all versions of it, he was with Martin at the bar, but just, like, different, like, oh, we were there at 10. Oh, wait, no, we were there at 12, you know, just, like, changing.
And what did Martin say for his alibi?
I didn't ask. I don't know.
They probably linked their alibis.
I'm sure they did. It was also said that... So they were seen out at the bars. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't get their fucking timelines together. So what I saw was that they went to the bar at whatever fucking time it was, and they were both dressed in white three-piece suits. To make a statement, yeah?
Yeah, for attention.
Look at me. I'm here at this time that nobody can remember because I didn't do very good research. And then, I guess, like, he went home with Bo and called the bar and was, like, complaining about the music or something. And then, like, went to the bar later also. Still in three-piece suits. I don't fucking know.
I'm sorry. You have to be unhinged to call a bar you've already left and complain.
You have to be unhinged to leave the bar and then go back to the bar later.
After complaining.
After, yeah.
Someone calls a bar to complain.
Music's too... Oh, it was because they stopped playing... It. Yeah, they stopped playing country music and put on, like, rock or something like that. Ugh. Fucking tools.
Sounds.
I'm gonna put on some 90s alt. Rock your world. Anyways. Also, not boding well for douchey face Martin. After the murders... Oh, he's dead, so I can say whatever I want about him. Okay. Actually. Is there a law? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. After the murders, Marilyn would leave Martin. I think she actually left him, like, real quick after the murders. Like... Actually, I think she might have left him the day of the murders. Something like that. Pretty fucking quick. Anyways, he wrote a letter to her saying, it was like a big long letter about their marriage, the dissolution of their marriage. Is that a word?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Thank you. And towards the end, he wrote, quote, "I've paid the price of your love, and now that I've bought it with four people's lives, you tell me we're through? What else do you want?" Unquote. Sounds suspicious, right?
First of all, that's like an admission. Second of all, is it though?
Because he also had four kids from a previous marriage. That's what they said when the DOJ, Department of Justice, said, "That doesn't mean shit," and didn't investigate it any further.
But how would that relate to his, "I paid the price with four lives"?
Why would you say that if you were talking about four kids from a different marriage?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's a weird fucking way to word it.
But also, how was he paying the price for her? Like, why?
I think it was like, so assuming this happened the way that we think it happens, maybe he killed them to be like, "Sue was trying to get us to break up. I took her out." I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I'm not a crazy person.
He's just too stupid to realize that that just would have made it worse.
She still ended up leaving him. So after the divorce, Martin moved to Nevada, where he began seeing a counselor who would come forward. Oh, it's like a VA counselor. So, like, you know, helping with his
PTSD.
Yes, thank you. I forgot. I was going to say, help him with his head. It's probably not right.
Oh, it's correct.
Thank you. So this counselor, I guess the police called him later to interview this counselor or something like that. And he said, oh, yeah, he confessed to the murders. But I guess that maybe they can't come forward to police, like, as a counselor. I'm not really sure how that works. Like, I know that... You have, like, the
doctor-patient
confidentiality, unless it's, like, bodily harm to someone. But if they've already been, like, killed, does that count? I feel like the counselor should have reached out, but maybe he couldn't. Maybe his hands were tied.
Can he reach out after that patient is dead?
Unfortunately, he didn't die until, like, 20 years later. And this was pretty soon after.
Okay.
But yeah, he did confess to the counselor to killing Sue and Tina, but he wouldn't claim the murders of the boys, which is a little weird.
Because he had that other guy with him.
Right, that's what I thought too. So again, the Department of Justice at the time dismissed this claim, didn't look into it any further. He was just like, "That's hearsay." Okay. So fucking dumb.
If not hearsay.
right? I don't know. So Bo died in like 1988, whatever. He died before Martin. Martin died in 2000. So they're gone. They, whatever. They never served justice. 32 years after the murders in 2013, it took them that long to reopen this case. So yeah, they reopened it. Law enforcement was looking into it and they admitted crucial mistakes had been made, including evidence that wasn't logged or was poorly stored or had deteriorated. Like, there was one thing that I read that said there was like a hole in the ceiling in one of the evidence rooms and like they had like a leak over one of the evidence boxes. It's kind of wild. And then there were like, yeah, tampering with the crime scene, leads that weren't properly investigated, and of course the suspicion of police corruption. They even believe that the anonymous call made to police following the discovery of Tina's remains was covered up to allow a suspect to get out of town. By this time, both Bo and Martin had been long dead, but police believe that there are at least two people still alive who were accessories after the fact, one of them most likely being the anonymous caller. So, in 2016, a junk collector with a metal detector came across a hammer around a lake in Keddie. Thinking it was worthless.
Worthless?
Worthless? Words hard. He tossed it back in the lake. Later, oh my. He's like perusing the internet and he was like, oh my god! And called police and was like, I think I just found one of the murder weapons.
I just found a murder weapon, but I also
I saw got, this on Reddit. I got
rid of it.
So, but the police went out to the lake and they found it.
Thank God.
And it was like almost exactly the same hammer that Martin had described being missing from his garage. And I guess they're testing the rubber handle now for DNA. Exciting! In 2018, so now they're culling through all this fucking shitty evidence boxes. This is where they find the old tape, that cassette tape of the phone call. Like, that was never talked about or anything. They, whatever. They're going through all this shit now. So in 2018, a piece of tape from the crime scene was actually tested for DNA, and they found a little bit. And it is connected to an unidentified living suspect.
Woo! Oh my goodness.
This could potentially be big. So yeah, long story short, these dudes were dead, but they obviously had some kind of help within law enforcement, probably. I mean, why would you have organized crime investigators come in instead of homicide investigators? People potentially believe that maybe Bo was like an informant,
mm-hmm.
and like was working on a different case. So in order to catch the big guy in this different case, you know, get him out of this other one, get him out of this little pickle he got himself in Keddie. It's a theory. I don't know.
Why would the homicide department allow that?
Because they're buffoons back then. But not the people on it now. These people, like, the detectives on it now, like, they grew up with that family in their town. You know? Mm-hmm. They knew the boys. And they, like, hung out at barbecues and stuff. I mean, they didn't grow up with them. But they knew them. They were there mm-hmm. for a couple years before the murder. Yeah. I was like, is that right? Anyways, Cabin 28 has since been demolished, obviously, because no one wanted to stay there.
Obviously.
And...
But did you want to stay there?
I'm not gonna say no.
Okay.
It's
in the woods.
I love it.
Okay.
Are there ghosts in here? I'm not gonna lie and say I wouldn't. I am gross. I'm a gross person. I would stay there. But now I can't. And I looked on Airbnb. I looked on Vrbo. It's not there. You can't stay anywhere in the resort.
It's also in the woods, though, and that's scary enough.
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome? So, and yeah, the rest of the resort did fall into disrepair. No one wanted to stay there after the murders, and the only people visiting there were the morbidly curious. Guilty! Today, the case still remains unsolved. But authorities are hopeful that with the advances in DNA technology, they'll be able to finally put an end to this mystery once and for all. And for God's sakes, if we could catch the Golden State Killer, we can fucking do this! Mm-hmm. I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is like, the evidence that they did collect, I feel like they stored it. They may not have stored it the best, but, I mean, they collected it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know anything about DNA or evidence. I'm just going to stop talking.
What's the podcast, so please don't just stop talking.
Anyways, God, that story gets me
so pumped. So how do they know that DNA is from a suspect? I just burped.
Well, I mean, I don't know. A suspect is just anyone who they haven't ruled out yet. Technically, you and I could be suspects. Okay. If you think about it.
I get it. Yes, you're correct.
Until they figure out whose hammer that actually was. Yes, but like everyone's a suspect until they're ruled out. Okay. So, this is a hammer found in Keddie. A hammer that was missing. A hammer described to have a blue handle missing from someone's toolkit. They just happened to find it in a lake. I mean, I think it was close to one of the guy's houses even. So, I don't know. It's a lead. It's something. And then the thing about the tape, like, why else would there be another person's DNA on tape that was found on one of the bodies?
'Cause maybe someone touched the tape and tape is sticky.
Okay, you know what? God damn it, Tamara. Your logic is refutable. Irrefutable.
Like, the medical tape I'm thinking of is
the,
like,
white one.
The white?
Yeah.
Like, the edges of that tape are sticky.
They are sticky. Hmm. But it was in a dispenser. So maybe. Okay. I don't know. We just gotta hope, you know?
I do hope.
Living on a hope and a prayer.
Yeah. For that familial DNA.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be great. This is just like one of the... I mean, fucking four people died. And they also don't even know how long, like, Tina was alive for. She could have died that night. She could have been alive for a year after.
Yeah.
Like, they need to figure it out. And then poor Sheila. She's still alive. Her brothers are still alive. They have no... They fucking know the cops dropped the ball. So shitty. How's that Xanax doing? Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I took that hours ago.
Okay. You look really sleepy.
No, I'm good. I don't drink a lot, so. So one.
She's so hammered from a 4% seltzer.
It's 5%.
Sorry. Let me just take a sip of my 13% wine. I've been watching a lot of Cougar Town, so I just like, I'm like craving red wine all the time now.
Oh my God, I love Cougar Town. What's it on?
Hulu. Okay. Didn't I tell you that the other day?
Maybe.
I literally sent you a picture and I was like, this is what I'm doing. And it was in the background, it was like Jules and Grayson on the TV clinking glasses, and then I had my glass in front of the TV because I can't watch that show without a glass of red wine in my hand.
Oh, now I have to download Hulu. I mean, pay for Hulu. I probably already pay for Hulu.
You probably do. I feel like you do.
Have you been looking at my bank statement?
No, but there's like shows that I feel like are only on Hulu that you've told me to watch. No?
I don't like Hulu's, like, setup and, like, I don't know.
I don't either. I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't like it either, but there are certain shows that I can only get on Hulu.
Yeah.
Scrubs is on Hulu. fucking love Scrubs.
What about The Office and...
Scrubs. The Office is only on Peacock.
And then Parks and Rec.
Don't care about that show, so I don't know.
Those are like... It's
probably on Hulu, though.
Like all Or maybe those. On Peacock. Scrubs, Cougar Town, The Office, and Parks and Rec. Those are like my comfort... Oh, and Schitt's Creek. Those are my comfort shows that I could Hulu. I could watch forever.
I know, yeah. This is probably my 38,000th time watching Cougar Town because I've just... It's been a hard week. And sometimes you just need something mind-numbingly stupid to watch that just makes you happy. And, like, every time I watch it, I see, like, another character from Scrubs that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the black security guard from Scrubs? He literally makes, like, 16 different appearances in Cougar Town. Like, he plays a cop. He plays... just like some, he plays a whole bunch of different randos at the bar. I'm just like, there he is. What's his name? Randall? I think his name's Randall. I don't know.
Well, love it. You did a really good job on that.
Oh my God. Thank you. I was like in the zone when I was like writing my notes. That never happens. Normally I'm a frenzied mess.
You have to recreate the same scenario.
It's always the same scenario.
Okay.
I'm in this uncomfortable chair at my dining room. I've got my big plant in front of me.
A plant?
Yeah.
For like that moral support? That big plant
on my table. It just makes me happy to look at. It's science. Green things make people happy.
Yeah.
Probably. Really fucking happy. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. Remember that? Oh, you guys will have heard the Morrow Castle episode by now. But after that Morrow Castle episode, in between, like, towards the end of my notes, my edible was kicking in. And it really goes downhill from there. So I cannot write notes on edibles. Anyways, we're at an hour and 15 minutes. So it's going to be a longie. Maybe not even our longest yet, though. But do you have anything else you want to add?
Nope. Thank you so much for listening. Follow us, review us, rate us 5 stars.
Please be nice. I'm so scared every single day. Now that we're live, I have anxiety about someone's going to say something mean about us. I just can't take mean comments.
I know.
If you have something to say, be constructive. Don't be mean, though.
Yeah.
Don't be like, your voice is stupid. Just be like, hey, why don't you try blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And not, why don't you try shoving this up your ass? Don't say that. Just be cool, man. Just be cool.
Yeah, but tell your friends about us. Spread the word.
But don't tell our friends. I don't want any of our friends to know.
Yeah, don't tell anyone we know. We don't want to get fired.
We have another follower that we know.
Oh, great.
All right. She's awesome, though. All right. Love you, Tamara.
I love you, Rel.
Thanks.
All right, friends. Bye.
Oh, wait.
What?
If you have any stories, send them to fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please. Any scary stories,
Stories, retail stories.
Interesting stories. Interesting, like, history or, like, crazy things that have happened or...
Yeah.
Crazy stories in your life.
I'd love to hear not a general crazy story, like, but I'd love to hear a personal ghost story. I have my personal ghost story. Maybe I'll tell it one day on the pod. It's not that scary, but
cool. I want to hear it.
You've heard it.
Okay. Well, I don't remember it.
Me either. All right. Goodbye, friends.
Bye.